oil drilling investments involve a high degree of risk and are only suitable for SEC-accredited investors. Attention, high-net-worth investors. Oil and gas investments have always been an ideal tax advantage and have been a way to invest and take a 100% write-off. The new administration is threatening to take this away. Take advantage now before it's too late. Invest in domestic oil drilling for a full tax credit this year. When you invest in oil, you get a 100% tax write-off. The pent-up demand from the pandemic has created the perfect storm for oil prices to soar. Support domestic U.S. oil and natural gas drilling and make your patriotic investment to get a complete 100% tax deduction write-off. If you are liquid for a $100,000 investment, call Encore Energy at 800-287-6691. That's 800-287-6691. 800-287-6691. That's 800-287-6691.
A big spike in hate crimes against Asian Americans.
Updated FBI statistics show 279 hate crimes against people of Asian descent in 2020, a 76% jump from the prior year. Two-thirds of all bias crimes in 2020 were based on race and mainly directed at Black Americans. But the increase in anti-Asian hate crimes coincided with the COVID-19 pandemic and the charged rhetoric in this country about its origin.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. The U.S. deeply alarmed at reports of a military takeover in Sudan.
Thousands on the streets of Khartoum protesting against the takeover. Sudan's top general has dissolved the government and announced that the military will now run the country after arresting the acting prime minister and other officials. The move threatens to derail Sudan's long, rocky attempt to transition to democracy, 2 years after the ouster of longtime leader Omar al-Bashir. The power grab comes just before the military was supposed to hand leadership of the country's joint military-civilian administration to civilians next month. Tom Rivers, ABC News, at the Foreign Desk.
Police near San Antonio are investigating the cause of a drag racing tragedy. Two boys, one of them 6 years old, the other eight, were killed over the weekend when a car veered off the track into the crowd. Witnesses say that there were no barriers where the car crashed and the driver appeared to lose control. This is ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. 20 minutes of nonstop news continues on Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Good morning, Como News Time 10:04. I'm Taylor Van Sisen for Tom Hutler. And now an update on Como traffic from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. We check that every 10 minutes on the fours. Here's Kiara Jordan.
Well, we've been working with a maintenance operation in Kirkland on northbound 405 as you're approaching 70th. It's a tree trimming operation, and they've been blocking the right lane. So this is what's causing your heavy backup starting just south of 520. And if you're going from Bellevue into Linwood, it's going to take you about 26 minutes right now. Northbound 405 has also been looking at brake lights as you pull away from State Route 169 and travel to about Northeast 44th. In Seattle, we have been dealing with the closure of East Marginal between 86th and 14th. And the closure of the South Park Bridge. This is all due to downed utility poles. So more people have been forced to use the First Avenue South Bridge, and we're still seeing over a mile solid backup on northbound 99 as you are approaching that bridge. And in Seattle, we're going to be slow and go on northbound I-5 starting just south of the West Seattle Bridge, and that's going to extend toward that Ship Canal Bridge. Our next Como traffic at 10:14.
Como forecast now, more wind and rain, damaging wind at times, especially for the Washington coast today. And we're going to eventually see a little bit of a warm-up. End of the week, we could get a little closer to the upper 50s or 60 degrees, but today and for the next few days, mid-50s. Como News Time, 10:06. Western Washington responding, of course, to all of that damaging wind. Power was knocked out to more than 150,000 homes and businesses, and a couple was killed in their car near Preston when a giant tree crashed down and crushed that vehicle. We get the latest from Como's Carlene Johnson on all of this wind damage.
Dory Ross woke Sunday to the sound of trees coming down just outside her home, bringing down power lines, and sparks were flying.
I came out in my pajamas because I was worried someone would drive through it.
That was around the same time a tree 8 feet in diameter crushed a car on Preston Falls City Road, killing two people. Now, power crews have been out through the weekend making repairs when it's safe, but the long period of sustained winds has complicated that. Dana Felton at the National Weather Service.
Today, we actually had our strongest winds here in the central Puget Sound. We had a line of really strong showers come through in the middle of the afternoon. 45 to 55 miles an hour. With that caused a lot of problems.
High winds will continue through the day today, gusting up to 40 miles an hour. The storm broke a record for the strongest low pressure system they've ever recorded. Carlene Johnson, Como News.
There's a new public health mandate in effect in King County, and it begins today, with Como's Brian Calvert reporting that in addition to masks, you also need to prove one of two things before you can enter some businesses.
According to King County Public Health, the vaccine proof or negative test result is required to enter the gym, movie theater, an entertainment venue, or dine inside a restaurant. Owner Jack Timmons says you don't really need this proof for takeout or...
There is a patio that's heated, so there's still an opportunity to go out to eat.
You also don't need to prove vaccine or test status at the grocery store and most stores, offices, and even banks. This woman says she's going to feel better about getting out there knowing everyone else is either vaccinated or not infected with COVID.
I have a mother who's high risk.
And people can go out and they can do things and, of course, spend some money and live their lives.
For those who have been vaccinated, you might consider making sure you have a photo of your vaccine card on your phone. That'll do. Or you can use the Clear app to register your vaccination, and that will give you a unique QR code to enter affected venues. Brian Calvert, Como News.
Here in Seattle, the Bruce Harrell for Mayor campaign is expressing outrage over an attack ad from Harrell's opponent, Lorena Gonzalez. The Harrell campaign calls the ad exploitive and even racist. Como's Corwin Hake has more.
In the TV ad, a woman who says she is a rape survivor calls out Harrell for his support 4 years ago of former Seattle Mayor Ed Murray. Several men had accused Murray of sexually abusing them in years past. Now Harrell is condemning the ad.
It is crystal clear with an election just 10 or 11 days from now that my opponent is politicizing the victims of sexual violence. That's just wrong.
Local black leaders call the ad racist.
It was a disrespect to the entire black community.
Gerald Hankerson of the local NAACP points out the ad's rape survivor is white. He says that dredges up memories of how accusations from white women have led to persecution of black men. Gonzalez is defending the ad, saying in a statement, Harrell's response is, quote, another example of him denying the facts and discrediting a victim. Corwin Hake, Como News.
Como News time, 10:09. Long gone are the days where we would hear Tom Hutler at T-Mobile Park announce Ken Griffey Jr. coming to the plate. But before long, we may hear that name on the loudspeakers once more as a member of the ownership team. Seattle Mariners great Ken Griffey Jr. apparently has an ownership stake in the Mariners. Now, in a statement, Griffey says he's excited for the opportunity and views it as another way to give back to the organization and community and looks forward to contributing to the team's success in any way possible. And we do expect to hear more from Griffey himself this afternoon. The Baseball Hall of Famer rejoining the team as a consultant following his retirement a decade ago. Most recently, he's been serving as a senior advisor to MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred. Como News time, 10:10. And that may be the coolest sports news we hear today. Unless, Eric, you've got something else you're tracking from the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk.
Well, kind of a big thing going on tonight, Monday Night Football at Lumen
Field.
Oh, that
thing. Yeah, okay, that's right.
Yeah, that's what they'll expect. Assignment is, at least for your Monday. Geno Smith will making a second start at quarterback for the 2-4 Seahawks tonight as they host the 3-2 New Orleans Saints. Recently acquired Jacob Eason will be the backup quarterback. Head coach Pete Carroll says running back Alex Collins will likely play tonight, and linebacker Daryl Taylor will be a game-time decision. Both suffered injuries last week against Pittsburgh. At halftime tonight, former Seahawks quarterback Matt Hasselbeck will be inducted into the team's Ring of Honor. To the NFL on Sunday, the Titans beat the Chiefs 27-3. Ryan Tannehill threw for 270 yards and one touchdown, and Derrick Henry rushed for 86 yards and threw one TD pass. The Bengals rolled over the Ravens 41-17. Joe Burrow threw for 416 yards and three touchdowns for the Bengals. Also, the Buccaneers beat the Bears 38-3, and Tom Brady threw his 600th career TD pass. The Seattle Kraken lost their fourth game in a row, losing their home opener on Saturday 4-2 to Vancouver. Vince Dunn and Mark Giordano scored for the home team, and Philip Grubauer made 22 saves. The Kraken play Montreal tomorrow night at Climate Pledge Arena. The puck drops at 7 o'clock. And the Sounders lost to Sporting KC on Saturday 2-1. Sports at 10 and 40 minutes past the hour. I'm Eric Hines, Como News.
Seattle on full tilt for that national audience in the U.S. and Canada on Saturday night as the Kraken took home ice for the first time. Como's Ryan Harris, one of the lucky Suns against to get a ticket, and has more from the arena.
After 97 years, including 3.5 waiting for this team to take the home ice, the sellout crowd of 17,151 people, and really a lot more with all the standing room guests, finally got that special moment. The first goal scored at Climate Pledge Arena with just 3.2 seconds left in the first period. It was just part of the excitement for 12-year-old Hayden Toth of Burien, who was at his first ever hockey game.
It was great. It was great. It was really fun.
Hayden's eldest brother, 16-year-old Torsten, had the same idea about what makes the game exciting.
It's like high pace. It keeps going. Yeah, it's fast.
It was great. It was really fast paced. The players were a lot bigger than I thought they were going to be, and the food was really good. It impressed me.
And their 15-year-old brother, Bodie, was also happy with the food and drink options.
They have lots of good, like, snacks and concession stands.
But Hayden and Torsten tell me that's not all they liked about the new barn.
The seats. They're comfortable.
Everything was just so new. The stadium was just so nice to know the stadiums around the area and really impressed me. It was really nice.
So the things we can say for sure are, if you go to a game, there's not a bad seat in the house, you won't go hungry, and you're in for a treat, because even though the Kraken lost their home opener, it wasn't for lack of effort or exciting top-quality play. At Climate Pledge Arena, Ryan Harris, Como News.
A nearly $3 million grant will help expand the maritime workforce in Washington State. We get more details from Como's Jeff Pogula.
The Bezos and McCaw family foundations have donated a total of $2.75 million to the Northwest Maritime Center. Now, the money will be spent on things such as the Highline School District's new maritime high school and expanding opportunities for girls and women. According to the Times, the school has 36 students in its first freshman class, but leaders hope to grow the enrollment to 400 over the next few years. The money donated is being counted towards the Maritime Center's goal of raising $18.6 million for much-needed expansion. Jeff Pogula, Como News.
Como News time, 10:14. And we check traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the 4th from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Here's Kiara Jordan.
We've been dealing with delays this morning on northbound 405 as you're trying to come out of Bellevue and into Kirkland. We've had a maintenance operation blocking the right lane as you're approaching 70th. So this is what's causing your backup beginning just south of 520. Northbound 405 has also been finding some lighter slowing as you're coming out of Renton and into Newcastle. Now, this morning's been challenging in Seattle. We've had the closure of East Marginal between 86th and 14th. Due to down utility poles, and the South Park Bridge has been closed as well this morning. So more people had to head for the First Avenue South Bridge. I'm still seeing a backup from about Cloverdale into the area, but that's definitely a large improvement over conditions that we had been finding earlier. And then north on I-5, it's still going to be busy off and on between the West Seattle Bridge and 520. Our next Como traffic out, 1024.
Now the Como forecast, our weather is still wet and windy, and we're going to see gusts of wind strong enough to cause more power outages all around western Washington today, damaging wind on the Washington coast. That's where most of the concern is right now, and of course in Oregon and California too, with the strong weather system still hanging on. We should hit about 56, 57 for our daytime high today, not far off from where we are right now. It's 53 in Seattle, and we'll stay in that mid-50 range through the week, along with all of that rain, but thankfully the wind should die down by sometime tomorrow. Como News time, 10:15.
Stay connected, stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station, Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Bill O'Neill at the editor's desk. I'm Taylor Van Sice in for Tom Hutler. Thousands of people will now be able to get their booster shot of their initial COVID-19 vaccines at a brand new vaccination hub. The first site is in downtown Seattle, and it opened Saturday at the Amazon Meeting Center on 7th Avenue. Two more sites are going to open soon, including one in South Seattle, one in West Seattle. These new vaccine clinics inside the Amazon Meeting Center will open Saturdays and Sundays, 9:30 in the morning to 3:30 for the next 8 weekends. And Tacoma firefighters battled to work a fire at St. Charles Borromeo Catholic School early Sunday morning. Tacoma Fire says crews were dispatched to the fire around 5 in the morning. The structure was unsafe to enter, so they had to attack it from just the outside. After several hours, they did get it extinguished, but crews have had to remain on the scene to monitor for hot spots. Como News time, 10:16. A crew member says that she had raised safety concerns in the past about the assistant director who authorities say unwittingly handed actor Alec Baldwin that prop gun that was really loaded with live ammunition, and it killed a cinematographer on a film set. We get more from ABC's Kaylee Hartung.
We need an ambulance out at Bonanza Creek Ranch right now. We've had two people shot on a movie set accidentally.
The film's director, Joel Souza, telling investigators Baldwin was preparing for a scene by practicing drawing his weapon. Baldwin was pointing the revolver towards the camera lens when Souza says he heard what sounded like a whip and then a loud pop. A projectile fired, striking and killing cinematographer Helena Hutchins, then piercing Souza in the shoulder. They were both standing behind that camera. One of the crew members called 911.
I just AD that yelled at me at lunch because asking about revision. He's supposed to check the guns. He's responsible for it.
Another crew member who also witnessed the shooting tells investigators Baldwin had been very careful handling firearms on set. The Oscar nominee seen emotionally embracing Hutchins' husband Matthew and their 9-year-old son. Matthew calling her legacy too meaningful to encapsulate in words, adding, "Our loss is enormous." A vigil in New Mexico over the weekend honoring her life and work.
I would have been lucky to have ever done another movie with another person like that, or with her. And I don't get to. That sucks.
This morning, new questions into how this tragic accident could have happened. The sheriff's report saying that the gun was one of three prop guns set up by the armorer, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, and that assistant director Dave Halls grabbed the Colt revolver off a cart and handed it to the film's star, Baldwin, yelling, "Cold gun," indicating the prop gun did not have any live rounds. The AD telling investigators he did not know the gun contained live rounds. Industry safety standards ban live ammunition from movie sets. Those have the projectile bullet at the top. Instead, many sets will use blank cartridges, which still have gunpowder, to simulate the sound and smoke, but no bullet. As armorer, Gutierrez-Reed was responsible for preparing those prop guns. 6 weeks ago, she spoke to the Voices of the West podcast, describing how nervous she was for her first gig as lead armorer on another film earlier this year.
I kind of just caught on by myself, and I think loading blanks was like the scariest thing to me because I was like, oh, I don't know anything about it.
A Rust actor telling ABC News Gutierrez-Reed was always very professional on set and took her job seriously. But a member of the camera crew describes a set rife with safety concerns, telling ABC News just hours before the fatal shooting, some members of the camera department walked off the set. That crew member saying the issue of gun safety had been brought up by the camera crew and brushed off repeatedly by producers. The film's production company telling ABC News in a statement they were not made aware of any official complaints concerning weapon or prop safety on set.
We reached out to both the armorer and the assistant director, but have not heard back. Now, the most puzzling piece of all of this is if live ammunition wound up on that set and in that gun, how did it get there? The film's production company says they are conducting an internal review and investigators will continue their interviews here.
ABC's Kaylee Hartung. Two kids died in a drag racing crash in Texas over the weekend.
That spectator event turned into a tragic scene at an airport about 70 miles away from San Antonio. Now, police say a drag race driver lost control of his car, crashing into the crowd, killing two children and injuring eight other people. Some of them had to be airlifted to nearby hospitals. Now, this all unfolded in front of thousands of fans at what was dubbed Airport Race Wars 2. One witness telling the Associated Press that the course was only 1/8 of a mile. Water-filled barriers were along the sides, but the witness says they didn't extend past the finish line where the race ended. The two boys killed were just 6 and 8 years old, and a woman who raced to the scene to help tells us that the 34-year-old driver initially lost consciousness but is now recovering and expected to be okay.
ABC's Elwin Lopez reporting. Como News Time 1020. It's time for our Propel Insurance business update. See how the markets are doing today and remaining generally positive with the S&P 500 up by 0.5% and the NASDAQ up by almost 1%. Not as large of a gain for the Dow, but still a positive day, higher by 94 points. Local stocks, that's more of a mixed picture with Amazon down 0.25%. Same story for Boeing and for Nordstrom. Microsoft also having a down day, but very positive right now for Redfin and Zillow too. Redfin up by almost 1%. Zillow up by 2.5%. Money news at 20 and 50 past each hour. And we have a Como traffic update next.
On the way home, update and unwind. The Como Afternoon News with Elisa Jaffe and Rick Van Sice. Stay connected. Stay informed with Como News 1000, FM 97.7 and ComoNews.com.